Can everyone see me? That? Well, like Ray said, I'm Jason Smith. I'm not a pastor. I'm a businessman. I do help run a ministry, but I told Drew a while back, I said, when you need a break, I think God's given me a message, and I'd be happy to share it. So thanks for letting me come today. My message, it's two parts. The first part is, how can God be glorified in my pain and suffering? And I know that you've heard a lot of pollen jokes, but I am suffering from pollen. So pardon me if you hear some sniffling. This picks up everything. I did turn it off when I went to the restroom, though, so I didn't make that mistake. But I'll start with my story. So I can give you my story in three words. The first word is ignored. When I grew up, I really didn't have any friends. I had a traumatic birth, cracked my shoulder blades, it messed up the nerves in my neck. It messed up my coordination. I wasn't good at sports. I was really hyper. And I was just kind of a church kid. But outside of church, really no one wanted much to do with me. So in high school, my second word is became. And I became something that I wasn't because I wanted friends. I started partying. I started doing drugs. Started hanging out more at the beach. And that's what I became because I wanted people to accept me. But the third word I have is accepted. When I was 32, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord, truly accepted Him, different than the prayer I said when I was a kid. And the verses that really hit me was, you might have heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. But I started really exploring that. I read Revelation 3, like John 3, but 15 and 16. And that's where Jesus says, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, so I spit you out of my mouth. And when I read that, I had goosebumps, and it was a real pivotal moment for me. And then I started reading the Bible more, and I saw John 3:30 said, He must increase, but I must decrease. This is John talking, and he's talking about Jesus saying that, you know, John, who was being elevated at the time as a pastor, said, I need to decrease. I want to increase Jesus. And that meant that John's purpose in this world was to exalt Christ and not himself. And then I read Romans 8:28. Some of you might know this verse. This one really stands out with me. And it says, and for we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, God's purpose. And, you know, this says all things, not just the good things, not just the happy things, but even the most painful things in my life work together for God's glory. And so I had to ask myself, I'm like, well, can all things work? Even my suffering bring me closer to God? Can even my suffering grow me in my faith? I've known people that have walked away from their faith in suffering, and others that have grown much closer to God in their suffering. And we rarely stay neutral when we're in a time of pain and suffering. Either you lean in, or you lean away. So a while back, I had to ask myself, can I be used by God? And does God want to use me? You know, am I so broken that God won't use me? And do my sins and my struggles keep God from using me? So I told you my story. I did say the prayer as a child, except Jesus. I was baptized. And my mentality was, especially once I got into my teens and 20s, was that I know I'm going to heaven. I treated Jesus as like, if you play Monopoly, you know, a get out of jail free card. Like, I've treated Jesus as kind of my get out of hell free card. I'm like, I know where I'm going. So therefore, within reason, I can pretty much do whatever I want. And that was my belief system. And, you know, what did it get me? Well, to be very, you know, I'm going to be very transparent today. I started selling drugs in high school. I got away from that, but I had horrible profanity. I was arrogant. I was ignorant. I was prejudiced, and I was promiscuous. And I was the world. I was in the world, and I was the world. So at that point, and then at 32, something changes. I had to ask myself, would God want to use someone who I felt was dirty and broken? On the outside, I was pretty clean and shiny. We went to church. We were involved in some stuff, but in the inside, I was a broken man that was living in my sin. But it's easier to look back than forward seeing how my suffering worked for God's glory. I'll give you some examples of how it did. So we had a pet bandit, and he was very close to us. Had him for 16 and a half years. And during a UGA game, he had a stroke and died. And I was broken. It was really, you know, we're at the emergency vet trying to figure it out. But then I looked back and I thanked God because we had a good life with Bandit. And he gave, and Bandit having a stroke means we didn't have to make that decision. Those of you that are pet people know that decision. We were set to go out of town to go on a big vacation. And that meant that Bennett, that was going to watch the dog and then our pet sitter for a few days, didn't have to make that decision with us, you know, thousands of miles away. My second job out of school, I was fired. I've always been a guy that everyone's always wanted me back, but I was in the wrong vocation, and it was obvious. But that firing, which was very hard, I've never been fired from a job in my life, I've always worked, meant that, you know, I moved to Jacksonville, Florida, I met Marnie, we had kids, and I started my business. If I would have stayed in that, probably none of that would have ever happened. God was using that brokenness, and looking back, it's a lot easier to see that. At the time, though, I was devastated. I'm like, I've never been fired. My son Bennett, who's here today, when he was born, he had what they called shallow breathing. And so he had to wear, they sent him home with a heart monitor. It was like a band that went around his chest. It was like an exercise vest. And 24 years ago, the device looked like a VCR. It was this big, had to go over our shoulder. We had to charge it. And so we get him home. He's wearing this. And a day into being at home, his grandmother told us his story yesterday, was holding him, rocking him, and he quit breathing. The alarm went nuts, heart was stopping the whole night. So she was saying how she rubbed his hands and his feet, and she just did everything she could, and she heard him go, he started breathing again. So then we spent the next 7 days at Scottish Rite figuring out what happened. Well, it turns out he had extreme acid reflux. Reflux so bad that when it came up, his body would just shut down. That's the best way that I could understand it. Looking back, we know that he's okay. We were thankful. At the time, we're like, first, I'm like, why do we have to wear this heart monitor? Then it's like, we're in this stupid hospital. We should be at home like when we were with our first child. But I look back and I saw how it worked out. And God used that time to really draw me into him. And the hardest thing I went through was 11 years ago this Easter is my sister died when she was 40. And I was 45. And it was very painful. Hardest thing I've ever been through in all my life. And my dad wanted me to speak at her funeral. He was too broken to speak, so I spoke. And afterwards, I was just broken. I remember I would get in my car, and I would drive to work, and I would scream as loud as I could because I didn't want my kids to hear me. I didn't want my wife to hear me. I didn't want my employees to hear me. So that was my time, driving from Riverview Run Lane, about 10, 15 minutes. I would just get there and just let it out. But then I on Facebook, the girl that grew up next to us, she was, my sister's 5 years younger. She's about 3 years younger. So I didn't know her that well, but she was friends with my sister. She friended me, and then she reached out and she said, your sister invited me to church when I was in high school and shared the gospel with me. And I'm saved now. And I look at her Facebook and it's evident that she loves the Lord. And God shared that with me. So I saw, you know, God showed my sister had a hard life, but he showed me some absolute good that came out of that. And it was really, so looking back, it's easier. But the second part of this is glorifying God in my loss. And that is, can suffering bring me closer to God? And if Romans 8:28 is true, where it says all things, how can God be glorified in our losses? Well, one thing God did is he changed my way of thinking. And that way of thinking was he showed me how to be thankful for what I have instead of what I don't have. My natural to go to was to be negative. I think it was part of my upbringing. And then I read Romans 5:3-5. It says, suffering can lead to endurance, and endurance can lead to hope, which ultimately points to God's love and grace. So I look at that, I'm like, okay, well, suffering, endurance, hope, and then God's love. So I started seeing this. So really something simple. Like I was at home and I was real sick a few months ago. I felt awful. But I started thanking God that I'm at home. I've got my own bed. I've got my own shower, my own food, my own toilet. There's no fun being on the road and being sick. So we were here. And my pain and suffering has given me stories and empathy that have opened the doors to conversations with people, to help them, which I love to help people, to pray with others. And one thing I started learning is that it's not always about me. Even if something challenging, hurtful, horrible is happening to me, it's not always about me. And I found that, you know, I really had joy in serving others and visiting others. I joined the prayer team at my old church, our former church, and I did hospital ministry. And that came from, I went to Uzbekistan. I was up near northern Afghanistan. I was doing some teaching, and I got crazy sick. We ended up eating some bad food. And I've never been so sick in my life. And I ended up taking 2 liters of IVs just to get on the plane. I'm like, I just want to get back to Paris, and then I can get home, because I was sick and I wasn't in my own bed. And but through that, God showed me the hospital ministry, and I looked forward to going. Not that sounds kind of weird, because if I went, it usually someone was bad off. But I started looking forward to that because I could go and I could serve. And part of it is Drew's daughter Grace, who is here right now. When she had scoliosis, she had a rod put in her back. I was blessed to be able to go pray with her. I mean, what a privilege. I've known her. I prayed for her and her mom's stomach before she was born, prayed for her as a baby, and then I was able to go see her in the hospital. I mean, that was tough. You know, I really admire her for going through that surgery. I remember one time I walked in and they said, hey, you need to go up to Alpharetta. And I go to the hospital and I walk in. There's this big bear of a man, big biker, big beard, everything you would expect from a biker. He'd been in a motorcycle wreck. And I remember I looked at him. I'm like, how can I pray for you? I was a little nervous around this guy. And he looked right at me and he goes, pray I can have a bowel movement. And I'm like, you know, his ankle's busted up, his hips busted up. And I'm like, come again? And he said, well, I was up in the mountains, and when the lady pulled out in front of me, my bike hit her car, and the handlebars hit my stomach, and they won't let me out of here until I can go. So I prayed that this guy could go to the bathroom. God's got some humor. And sometimes it's hard. Bob Carter was one of our pastors at Perimeter Church, Old One, and his son was in a horrific accident. And I remember I walked into the hospital and there's all these people there. I was sent part of the prayer team and I saw his mom at the foot of the bed with her hands on her son's feet, just crying and praying. And I lost it. Bob had to come over and put his hands on me and pray for me to strengthen me. I couldn't even pray. I was so broken. And then I remember Gary Daniels and I did prayer team together. Gary's here today. And we went to the hospital and we heard there was a lady with heart problems. We walked in, there was a lady, Stephanie, there, who, if you've been in combat or worked in the medical industry and you've seen someone that's about to die, that's what we saw. She was like light as a feather. She had no color. She was waiting on a heart transplant. But we were blessed to be able to pray with her at that time. And out of that, she got the heart. She turned out okay. And it actually led to a friendship. So I look at, like, you know, I was sick in Uzbekistan. I make it back, and then God gets me going in this, and he blesses me to be able to go help people. Because when I was sick over there, there were people praying for me. But it's a lot easier to look backwards than forward. I don't know if you'd agree with me on that. Like, I look back, I'm like, yeah, the thing with my sister, it was so hard. It still hurts, but I saw the thing with Jolene God gave to me. But sometimes it's a lot tougher when we're in it. So I have to ask God, like, what about my current circumstances? Or what about your current circumstances? I have a saying at work, and it's not a negative saying, but my partner and I run a recruiting firm. We say it's always something. And that just means that it's never perfect. If we're sitting here analyzing the business, there's at least one thing that we're dealing with. It never fails, and that's what it is. So I had to start saying, well, God, how do I turn... not knowing how my suffering and pain, my circumstance will turn out, how can I glorify God with my always something? And the first is by thanking him when I'm in the middle of the struggle. So that's really hard. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's through gritted teeth. But actually saying, thank you that I'm going through this. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but you could say, dear God, thank you that I did not get the job that I was just rejected for. I know that your will is perfect and that you have better in store for me. And maybe you're keeping me from harms. So I would, in that, try to put whatever that disappointment, hard thing is in there, because I know he's got a good plan for me. The Bible says it. Or, you know, when Bandit died, and I was like, dear God, thank you that we were here with him, that we were here with him in his last moments, that Bennett didn't call us frantic because we left 5 days before he was coming to visit it. What do I do with this? Because he had a stroke. Or our pet sitter wasn't like, what do I do? Thank you. And thank you that we didn't have to make a decision to put him down. You know, I look at it as he did us a favor. And I mean that in a kind way. Those of you that have pets and have had to make that decision, you know what I'm talking about. But to have that prayer, this comfort, for me, I feel that I have to have a relationship with God first. And that's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that when I accepted Christ, his Holy Spirit came inside of me. And that's my comforter. Romans 8:14 is, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And by as a child of God, that means that when you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in, and I'm now adopted into God's family. As someone that grew up alone with no friends, I'm no longer alone. I have friends now, but I have eternity to look forward to. And then Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself, Spirit as a person, intercedes for us with wordless groans. So I'm like, wow, I've got the Holy Spirit in me who is somehow communicating with God about the deepest recesses of my heart. Maybe the stuff that I've forgotten about or the stuff that it just feels like it's too much. So then I learned that the Holy Spirit reaches out for us on our behalf to God when we don't even know it. So I'll close this out here. What I'll say is, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, maybe you aren't sure, or maybe you were like me at age 32, where at some point you went through a ritual of prayer and baptism. I did go through that. But you don't feel like you have that relationship with God. I invite you to pray along with me right now. So I'd like to do the prayer of salvation. And you can just repeat this in your head if you want. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner, and that sin deserves eternal punishment. But I believe that Jesus paid my penalty by his death on the cross. So right now, I invite you, Jesus, and to be my Savior and my Lord, and to take residence in my heart. So thank you for hearing my prayer and indwelling in my life. Amen. If you prayed this prayer and you want to know more, you can see me, you can see Drew, you can see Ray or anybody else. Any of us would be happy to go deeper. But I'd like to close by asking, you know, ask yourself, how can God use your pain and suffering to help others? Because that's what really helped me. To glorify him, maybe to grow you in your faith. This allows you to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to help people, to serve them. And just remember that your loss might even be for someone else's benefit, but it's always for God's glory. Thank you.